Hey everybody, hope you're going well. Stephen back here. Just want to say thank you to the people that reached out to say they enjoyed the first episode or episodes of this podcast. Really means a lot because it's one of those thankless tasks coming up with a podcast sometimes. You don't always know if people are liking it. So I just want to say thank you and please feel free to reach out if you've got any questions. Be more than happy to answer them based on my experience. Now, in this podcast, it may be a bit longer than the other ones, but I wanted to actually go through a list that I was given by one of my coaches, and it's called the 20 things to remember if you love someone with dyslexia, and I'll try and touch on some of these points on my own experience, but this is great if you love someone you think has dyslexia, or some of the things that you may recognize in yourself that you may not have even been aware were triggered by dyslexia. And this is the real, again, coming back from the misconception podcast, this is something to be really aware of, is there's a lot of stuff that's not as well known, shall I say, about dyslexia, where you may only just be finding out. You know, there's so many people, you know, there's so many different claims of how many people have dyslexia. I've heard everywhere from 10, 15 to 20% of the population. No idea what's true. It's the internet, so good luck on finding the exact stats. But what I have heard is the challenging thing about it is so many adults got through not knowing they were dyslexic. So a good one, you know, a good point to start off on, the first point of this list, is dyslexia is hereditary. So if you have dyslexia, it's very likely one of your parents had it. From my experience, what I'm learning is it seems to not skip a generation. Now, I don't know if that's a fact, but this is from my own experience. My father, after doing this course, and he was the one who got me onto it, we worked out he was dyslexic. He hadn't known. He's 62, give or take, but he's obviously dyslexic from what I've learned. So maybe something to consider, do a bit of testing and guessing. I'm actually putting together a test myself for people to use to look at some of these points. I'll let you know, guys, know when I've got it ready, but I think it's going to add a lot of value to the community. But the second thing after that is they have lifestyle challenges. Dyslexia is much more than just having difficulty reading, writing, and using numbers. They see the world in a completely different way, communicate differently, and have trouble organizing things. Some people describe it as a lifestyle challenge because it affects almost all aspects of life. Now, this was a big point that really got to me, how intense it was, because it's such a specific tool. So I kind of, when it comes to dyslexia, it does affect every part of your life. And when you start to really dig into it, I've been shocked at how it's affected everything from organizing to outbursts with my partner. She gets grumpy at me, but I'll go into disorientation in a different episode, but it really affects you. So it's biggest thing to take out of that, I think, is it's not just reading, writing, and numbers. Many dyslexics have worked out ways to solve that, but they're suffering in other ways they haven't realized. The second thing, they can seem weird. Despite their high intelligence, I like that, and because they see so many different perspectives at once, they can appear incoherent in conversation. They can come out with strange ideas and lack the ability to check if their thoughts are suitable for conversation. They can seem almost autistic because they're often unaware of social rules. You know, I find that a lot. Like, I struggle with some social environments of what I should say and what I shouldn't say. To me, there's no emotional connection sometimes with what I say, but then I blurt something silly out. That doesn't affect me, but it can affect people in my area. And that can be quite challenging for being in a relationship. It's not that easy. I can pledge to that. And I think as well, you know, the different perspectives at once. I don't know about you, but my brain, when something happens visually, I run away and I look at 1,000 different obstacles and things, and sometimes they're real, sometimes they're not real, but it can really become quite overwhelming. So, you know, they can seem weird. Yep, I agree with that. They find details exhausting. This is an easy one. If you're dyslexic, details are very exhausting. Because of the visual part of our brain, we don't process detail very well, which is usually in numbers or text. We're not numbers and text people. Number four, they function differently on different days. Some days they seem to function better than others and can appear like they're improving. Other days, it looks like everything has gone to hell. Well, they don't say hell, but I'm going to say it, because that is how it feels sometimes. Some days I'm really up and high and happy. Other days I feel like, what's the point? What's my why? Something I've really struggled with, finding my why as a dyslexic. Highly creative. You know, I don't have to explain that much, but you're able to create things, put two and two together. Very good at what I call random access memory. You know, you can bring two ideas, merge them together quite simply. It just happens. And I've got a great example of what I mean by that in another episode. Six, they see things that others don't. You know, it's like what you can actually, you know, I guess this is more related to text issues. So like words moving on a page, flipping around, jumping around, like if they're reading a book, kind of looks like a capture on one of those websites we have to try and get through. I personally have never had this as part of dyslexia. It's something that actually I thought I was semi-cured. I never had an issue with words jumping, but I know it's very common. But it's another great example of how you don't have to have everything. No two dyslexics are the same. It's very clear. That's great. I'll probably jump through a couple of these because I may do episodes on them, but I'll just jump in. They're more likely to have ADD. People with dyslexia are more likely to have ADD. About 40% of those with dyslexia have ADD. And as I say, 60% of people with ADD have dyslexia. It's a nice backwards around number. So it is very common to have both. They're kind of on a similar spectrum. Next, they can experience thoughts as reality. They can fully believe they've told you something and they haven't, or swear that they have, that you've told them something or haven't told them something that you have. Often they express themselves in such a unique way that their message hasn't come across coherently. So that happens to me a bit. I think I've told someone something and it's happened in my brain, in my head. I've seen myself doing it, but I didn't do it in real life. And vice versa, I'm told by my partner, it happens the other way around as well. So next, I'm going to fly through these a bit because I will dig into a lot of these points in more detail. 10, they may not know they have dyslexia. According to the Mayo Clinic, dyslexia can go undiagnosed for years. Now, in my, you know, this affects a lot of people because they think they're stupid and slow, but they're actually just dyslexic, which means they're very smart in some ways, but not in others. You know, it's very important to realize that. And you know, adult dyslexia is one of the hardest things to diagnose because people have never thought they've had it, and people aren't really open to learning about it. They think it's a disability. I've had multiple friends I've chatted to and they've really struggled to come to terms with it. It's just not a great, you know, they just don't feel like they have it. They think they can read and spell, so they don't have dyslexia. I think it's terrible how it's been branded in the world, but that's just, I guess, due to a lack of knowledge by a lot of people. Next, we think in pictures instead of words, so we're visual thinkers. It's a great definer. If you think someone's dyslexic, if they think visually, 9 times out of 10, if they're an over-visual thinker and they think fast, then they're likely to be dyslexic or somewhere around that area. Next, they will always have dyslexia. You can't solve it. You can only improve upon it. You can't actually solve it. So it's something that you will have, so you better to deal with it and understand it and really put some time in, because what I'm learning at the moment is I've been searching for every solution under the sun. None of them have worked. The minute I start playing around and understanding dyslexia, things are changing in my life. They use their brains differently. If you haven't already done your research and all the great videos that exist, Basically, how it works is their brain underutilizes the left hemisphere, the area required for reading, and the bridge of tissue between the two sides, otherwise known as something I can't pronounce, the corpus callosum doesn't function in the same way. So their brain doesn't always direct information to the correct place for processing. It usually goes to the visual area instead of the reading area, thus the challenges. They get it from, I've already done that one, I brought that to the beginning. They often have low self-esteem. People with dyslexia are as intelligent as the rest of us, sometimes more, and they're fully aware that other people can read and write more easily. You know, there's a great quote from Albert Einstein. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life thinking it's stupid. You know, let that sink in. That's a really powerful quote. One thing I realized probably about a month and a half ago, one of my best friends who lives in another city came up to visit. He was staying in our spare room. You know, we've always got on really well. We've been very similar in some ways. We frustrate each other in the same ways. But one of the things I realized when we caught up, and we realized together, is that it's like a 90% chance he has dyslexia, probably higher. And he'd never known. But he'd gone up through school probably thinking he wasn't smart, he was stupid. It really challenged him. He probably got bullied. I'm not sure, but it felt like that's where he's going with it. It's really sad because he's a smart kid. He's doing really well these days, whether he believes it or not. But it has affected his self-esteem for many, many years. And it's really sad because, like, you know, just knowing that you are dyslexic is so powerful. And understanding it. Next, they have different symptoms. This is what I was saying before, is we are all different. And it's where the challenges I find sometimes in helping people come to terms with dyslexia is because it can be a challenge to pick them out of a bunch. You can pick out some features, but, you know, as my coach says, she calls them old solutions. Every dyslexic is such a good problem solver. They've found ways around some of their challenges. So they've put these little stop gaps that don't really solve the problem, but they make it a lot less obvious. So a lot of people wouldn't ever say, oh, you're dyslexic, because they've solved it in their own way. And thus, it's very hard to diagnose. It's hard to go, hey, this is what you've got. If you tweaked this, this, and this, and understood these principles, your life would change 180 degrees. So, you know, that's one of the challenges I have. I want to try and help people come to terms with it, because I think awareness is actually one of the key things that's struggling in the dyslexic community. The next thing, they're full of contradictions. They may be highly aware of their environment, but appear lost. They may recognize or read a word on one page, but be unable to recognize it on the next. Their brains are often very fast, but appear slow, because they're filtering through all the possibilities they see. This is what I was touching on earlier. I know myself, if something happens in reality, my brain runs off and thinks about 40 scenarios that it could happen. It happens so fast, I don't even always recognize it, but it becomes overwhelming, and sometimes I react negatively. You know, it's a real strange feeling, and again, I will do an episode on that because I think it's a big one. They have great strengths, often great at reading people. Some of them have great reading people skills in general. They usually have fantastic memories and rely on them. They're often good at the spoken language, if not the written language. You find many become architects, engineers, artists, and craftspeople. Very intuitive with vivid imaginations. They can, you know, the last one is they're incredibly successful. And this is one of the things where most people who are at this stage listening to this would have done some research, I'm presuming. But the people like Richard Branson's a great one to listen to because he's dyslexic and look at what he did. You had Richard Taylor, John Britton, Whoopi Goldberg, Jay Leno, Henry Winkler, the Fonz, Danny Glover, Cher, artists like Da Vinci, Tommy Hilfiger, Andy Warhol, Pablo Picasso, funny enough, we're all dyslexics. It's just remarkable. The numbers, like, I can't read them all out because there's just so many. You know, George Washington, Henry Ford, Steven Spielberg, amazing people. So what I wanted to get from this is just a few little things that are very important to understand with dyslexia. And what I want to cover in future episodes, everybody, is the real complex, detailed bits. The bits that aren't available online. Like what I found is the information available seems to be very poor. Maybe it's all been put together by dyslexics who, by trait, we're all pretty erratic sometimes, and we can love something to start with and lose track of what we're actually implementing. Maybe we all think we've done it in our heads, but haven't. I think there's a real challenge of awareness we want to get out, so I'm going to be, I really want to try and do something for the community, give back, find some purpose for myself, and hopefully help people along the way. So if you've enjoyed this, give it a bit of a rating. I'd love some feedback. I'd love any questions, any challenges. Feel free to give me a story about what you've struggled with, and I'll be more than happy to help. But hopefully you guys enjoy this.